everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Mr. Brad Cohen. Brad is the regional president of Midwest Bank, a $1 billion community bank with branches in 9 Nebraska communities. He oversees the bank's policies, performance, and operations, ensuring its safety and soundness. He's actively involved in the asset liability management, compliances, and IT functions, and also provides managerial oversight for an affiliate bank in Denver. Brad's banking career began in 1987 as the National Bank Examiner with the OCC. Over the years, he served as cashier and vice president of lending, regional manager and executive vice president of lending, and president of CEO of various banks. He has also served on the board of directors of 3 affiliate banks. Brad is deeply involved in the banking industry, currently serving as chair of the Nebraska Bankers Association. He has represented the Federal Reserve's 10th District of the National Community Depository Institutions Advisory Council and has held leadership roles on several ABA and MBA committees. He has taught and presented for the ICBA, MBA, and NBA KBS schools of banking, as well as the private sector. And Brad and his wife, Lori, have 3 children and many grandchildren. Welcome, Brad. I'm super excited to dig into our topic today. But first, here at Banking Matters, we always like to hear how our guests got their start in banking.
Well, good afternoon, Lindsay, and thank you for having me. Well, it's probably important for my background and perspective to give a little bit of a history of where I grew up and the time element of that. So I grew up in a very small rural community in northeast Nebraska, very much ag-centered. And our local community bank was the first bank that was closed in the state during the ag crisis of the 1980s. In fact, it was closed on July 8th of 1983, ironically, 2 days before my birthday, between my senior year of high school graduation and entering into college. Very difficult economic times in agriculture at that point. I had no banking background. Our family was all engaged in production agriculture. But went to college, and ironically, my first job in my career in banking was a national bank examiner with the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. And for the past 37 years, I've kind of sat on every corner of the desk that you can in the industry, from being a lender, cashier, compliance officer, president, CEO, regional president, holding company, risk management officer. So pretty much have done it all, but those formative early years of seeing what can happen in agriculture and banking has never left.
And so today I really would love to just dig into really kind of, I know you referenced the ag crisis in the 80s, but like what is going on with agriculture and banking now in today's standpoint? Where are we at?
Well, if I could, hopefully, I want to show you a couple of things that I find interesting. This was a magazine cover in March of 2023. And basically it says, Nebraska agriculture future is bright. The current ABA Banking Journal, one of the feature articles, I would encourage people to read this. It says basically, farmers face cliff as working capital disappears. In 18 months, this industry has rapidly changed. And quite frankly, we're facing some serious times. I'll give you some statistics that this is from last year, entering into the 2024 operating year, monitoring our clients' financial positions, and our ag clients. 42% of our clients, ag clients, this past prior year, entering into 2024, experienced an earned equity loss or loss in net worth, 42%. 67% experienced a loss in working capital. And we'll come back to the working capital, and a lot of bankers are expressing that concern, is eroding rapidly. It's critical that things be done to protect that. What we call core earnings, or earnings that are necessary to cash flow or meet the payment obligations of our clients, 38% of those renewals failed to meet their core earnings obligations. So some pretty telling trends from last year, and things have got considerably more challenging since then. So we are facing some real challenges in the industry. Based on futures prices and what we can foretell, they're not going to get any better anytime soon.
And so now, compared to, explain to me kind of the trend in ag over the last 10 years. And do you have, and then if you have any thoughts on kind of how we got where we are now?
Yeah, and that's a good question, observation. And I'd like to actually take it back to about 15 years, because in the past 15 years, we've had two cycles with significant profit opportunities that were experienced. One of those time periods was about 2011 through 2013, and tremendous profitability and wealth was generated during that time period because of very high prices. And a lot of producers created what we kind of term generational wealth. I mean, they made a lot of money. And deservedly so. But then from that time till about 2019, things became challenging. Agriculture historically is, it's very cyclical. There's a kind of the long period of time where profitability is minimal. People just kind of get by. Those, in my mind, are the critical years where producers, they manage their balance sheets prudently, so they are in position to make good profits when those cycles appear. And it's not a steady profitability cycle whatsoever. And then also being prepared for when times like we're in and entering into, that they have the equity and the working capital to sustain those difficult time periods. So from about 2014 to 2019, it was that period of limited profitability, some losses, a little bit of a deterioration in balance sheets. And then in 20, the COVID years, they experienced another really strong profit performance for about 2.5 years. And now that's quickly changed. That article, I'm not making fun of it, back in March of 2023, it was accurate, but that's how quickly things have changed. And what we're facing this time is really, it's on both sides. It's on revenue and on the expense side, and quite challenging.
And so what factors do you think have kind of led us to this big shift, especially what we're facing now?
Well, inflation has certainly played a big part of it. The cost of production has increased anywhere from 30 to 40%, whether it's input costs. And I'm speaking, well, it applies to all sectors of the ag industry. What's really being challenged right now is the cash grain row crop operators. The livestock producers are still in pretty good shape, although the risks are highly elevated in those industries. So inflation on the cost side, it's come down a little bit, but over the last 5-year trend, input costs are up 30 to 35%. Machinery and equipment costs are up 40% over a 5-year period, coupled with the fact that and land prices are still very elevated. Economically, the cap rates on land today are 2% at best on a market value basis. There's a large disparity between the economic value of ag land and the market value. That disparity has just been growing and growing. Market value far exceeds the economic value of agricultural land. So you take that inflation, and then you have a 40% decline in commodity prices. It would be like, we're at the end of the year, and you go in and have your annual evaluation, and you get your salary or wage cut in half for 2025. And by the way, all your family living expenses have just went up 30, 40%. I mean, that for anyone that's not acutely familiar with agriculture, that's basically what's happened. It's a commodity industry. The price fluctuation definitely, it's something to be expected and managed. We have, our producers have to manage for that. The inflation side really adds to the challenge.
Absolutely. And so with us, if so right now it feels like people are probably using up all that they have in order to prepare for this next coming season. So what is that going to look like? Where are we headed?
Well, it's really important for us as bankers to get in front of our producers early. I know our practices are, we'll start talking with our producers kind of late in the crop growing season, just to see how things look, do some forecasting and prepare, because what we call the burn rate, basically the dissipation of working capital and net worth, is quite a bit more significant this time around than it has been in the past, because we've talked about the costs of production agriculture. On top of that, they also have all the inflation costs of family living expense, which, as you all know, look at health insurance costs, housing, food, all the staples that they're dealing with. So it's compounded, and that's why the burn rate is very significant, and it can't be ignored. So it's really important to get in front of our producers early in a timely basis, and be proactive so we can give them options. The last thing we want to do, I mean, I firmly believe that our job as bankers is a fiduciary responsibility in helping our clients protect and preserve their wealth. Just simply taking loss carryover debt and terming it out, structuring it on a term loan, that might be the easy and simple solution. Particularly because balance sheets are still, they're okay, and the value of their assets and collateral will support carryover debt. But that's not necessarily the right answer, because the ability to repay that debt, I think, is going to be extremely challenged and could just compound an existing problem. So it's important to get to the root cause of the problem, and then come up with strategies working with that producer. And that could be restructuring balance sheets, generating enough working capital to get through this cycle. And we don't know how long that's going to be, but it's I think you prepare for a 2 to 3 year cycle, and try to position that client's balance sheet to withstand it.
And so is so helping getting out in front and being already talking with and strategizing with your producers, that's one thing. Is there any other things that banks can do to try to help manage that risk besides just getting out in front of it? What if a bank is just now kind of realizing, oh my gosh, what's going on? What are some things that they can do?
Well, there's some risk management counseling, for lack of a better word, that I think we need to be keen to. Number one, third party risk. You know, the risk in to our ag producers, it's not just their own production profitability, but as the industry gets more strained, third party risk, i.e. Vendor relationships, whether prepaying for products and or selling on a deferred type basis, they have to be very careful about that. So it's our responsibility to help them to manage that and be aware of it. Simple things like insurance coverage, that's something that we're watching very closely this year. So they don't try to manage expenses that ultimately create more risk exposure, you know, lowering their insurance coverage, whether it's property casualty, you know, raising the premiums, health insurance. You know, we don't talk about health insurance a lot, but, you know, heaven forbid that if something would happen in the household of one of our clients, you know, those type of events can just really exasperate a difficult situation. You know, and there are, we have government guarantee programs that we can use to help manage risk. So there are a number of things, but at the end of the day, it's helping them identify what the root causes of the challenges they're facing. And a lot of that is balance sheet management. And there are, depending on the length of this current cycle, it very well may be that a substantive change in operations will need to occur. There are people that believe that this could impact, you know, the 20% of the industry if it continues. Wow. And again, our job is to be realists with those folks, help preserve their wealth. And if that means that the viability of an operation may be challenged, or if it's not viable, well, then we act proactively and preserve the wealth that they have.
Absolutely. And so do you feel that, I know, like, where I'm at, I'm in West Tennessee, super rural. We have tons of row crop. Several of the banks that I've worked for, we're nothing but ag, essentially, is what we have here. And so I'm just thinking from a standpoint of, if we do go through this cycle of banks that are in similar situations from what I know intimately, what other risk, I guess, yes, they're just the continuation of the industry itself. And if they're, like you said, that burn rate that they're going through, what they have, what other risks could banks be exposed to right now if things stay as bleak as it feels right now?
It really does compound. Like you and many states, agriculture is the number one industry in the state of Nebraska. So as agriculture goes, our state goes, and it will impact virtually every community and industry in some form or another, some more pronounced than others, and nationwide. I mean, agriculture is a $1.5 trillion industry, represents 6% of our GDP. You know, it's one of the top 10 industries in our country. So the systemic impact, the systemic risk of a prolonged difficult cycle is going to impact many other industries, and it will it puts a lot of pressure on banks, on communities, you name it. If there is a dissipation in producers, school districts, I mean, it really does have a systemic impact, particularly in Nebraska. In like your state as well.
Absolutely. So one thing that we do, like, well, I will say our listeners are vastly community bankers. So do you have any advice to banks as they are kind of navigating this besides just getting out in front? Are there different avenues that they need to be looking at? What would be the best thing to do to kind of buckle down and brace up for these next 2 years?
Well, from my experience, ignoring or hoping are not really good solutions in banking. I think being genuinely open and honest with people works, and they will listen. Being proactive and being able to provide people options, I think, is always the best situation and scenario to be in. But you'd have to be very honest, very open, and be genuine. And there, people can agree to disagree, and that's okay. And you wish them well, and you move on. But it's very important that that these issues are not ignored, because they're not going away. And then you know, having open dialogue and understanding that no one wants to be in a challenged financial position, and there'll be some resistance, but our job is being consultative and trying to do what's best. But we also our priority is the bank, and I think I have always found it to be a much better situation when you're just completely open, completely honest, and letting people know, you know, because we are the financial professionals, and that's what our job is. We have to be careful, you know, not to overlend to people. Getting back to, restructuring debt, it's the easy solution, but it may not be the right solution, because overlending is, in my opinion, a cardinal sin in banking. And right now, with the revenue challenges, that it's easy to do.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, Mr. Brad, we thank you so much for joining us today on Banking Matters. But for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.